This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His assistance. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. Yet whomever He allows to go astray, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic of our khutbah today is other considerations besides the haram. Many people, they only take one thing into consideration when they're making a decision. And that is whether or not this thing is haram or not. Today we're talking about other things that people need to consider besides the haram. Meaning, the haram is not the only thing you take into consideration when you're making a decision. What about the makruh? A makruh is something that is disliked or even hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruling of the makruh is that if you don't do it out of obedience, you get rewarded. And if you do it, you are not under the threat of being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like sleeping on your stomach or drinking with your left hand. There has not been any narration mentioning or threatening a punishment if you eat and drink with your left hand or if you sleep on your stomach. But it is something that is makruh. It is something that is disliked. But one should still avoid doing that which is hated by Allah or disliked by Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, all they care about, is it haram or not? So they ask you, what's the ruling on this thing? You tell them it's makruh. Oh, so it's not haram. Yes, but it's makruh. It's hated or disliked to be done. Yes, but it's not haram. That's all they care about. And that's not the only thing you should consider. One of the most amazing descriptions of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they said that the companions never and not once, if the Prophet ﷺ told them, don't do this, they never once said, Ya Rasulullah, don't do it, يعني haram, haram, or don't do it, just don't, you know, it's not good to do it, makruh. Never, they never asked that question. And that's amazing, because today people just want to be just on the border of the haram. Just let me right on the edge there. And the question is, why didn't the companions ever question that? Why didn't they say, Ya Rasulullah, is it haram or makruh, or is it just better to leave it? What do you mean, don't do it? Because the scholar said, all prohibition, when all nahi, when you tell someone don't do something, it means you don't want them to do that action at all. Yani, if you tell someone, don't do this, it means you're forbidding them from doing it. You don't want them to take that action. So when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell you not to do something, the understanding is they don't want you to do it. You shouldn't do it. Whether there's punishment or not, you should stay away from it. But then indications later on come to show that it's not as severe. For example, drinking while standing. Prophet ﷺ said, don't drink while standing. But then, in more than one occasion, he drank while standing. So how do we understand when his action goes against his saying? That means, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's trying to teach you that it's not forbidden, meaning haram, but it's better to avoid it. So unless we have something that decreases, but whether we have something that decreases the level of severity or not, the whole idea was to not do this action in the beginning. And the scholars warn of something else that's very important. They say that constantly falling into the makruh will eventually get, or can eventually get you to fall into the haram. So this is like an area before the border, before the haram border, that you should try to avoid as much as possible. So you're not walking just on the edge of the border of haram. So the first thing to consider, besides the haram, is it something that is makruh, something that is disliked by my Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet ﷺ disliked for me to do this thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, you also consider which category or group of people does it place you with. Remember, in this khutbah, we're not talking about anything that's haram, but we're talking about things that are inappropriate, unbecoming, not befitting. So imagine one of our shuyukh, Sheikh Walid Basyuni or Sheikh Ibrahim, they dressed up like they're part of a biker gang. They put on denim jackets or a leather jacket and spikes and boots. There is nothing haram about leather jackets or denim jackets or boots. Or a young man dressed like a goth, another example. There's nothing haram about the outfit itself. But is this how a believer wants to be recognized? Yani, your imam of the masjid, do you want to be confused between him and someone in a biker gang? Or do you not want him to be placed in that category? Or someone wants to wear a lot of gold chains. Type gold, he knows it's haram. So I'll get something that looks like gold. Type, what's the look you're trying to go for? Yani, why do you want to look like a rapper with lots of chains on your neck? What's the intent here? The problem is, because after all this, someone will say, Tab, what's the problem? Let him look like a biker and live his life, yakhi. Type, the problem is we aim low. Let's aim high. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi khiyarikum." Should I not inform you of the best of you? قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. They said, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah." He said, "قال الذين إذا رؤوا ذكر الله." He said, "Those of you that when people look at them, the people remember Allah." And can you imagine this level of righteousness? That someone is so righteous that his very presence makes other people remember Allah Azza wa Jal. His face makes people, or her face, makes people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's aiming high. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, whenever my iman would decrease, when he was a student of knowledge in Al-Madinah, he said, كُنْتُ آتِ ابْنُ هُرْمُزِ. He would go to Ibn Hurmuz, who was one of the great scholars and from the tabi'een. He said, كُنْتُ آتِ ابْنُ هُرْمُزِ فَأَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِ فَأَطَّعِذُ أَيَّامًا. He said, I would go to Ibn Hurmuz and just look at him, and that would admonish me for days, just looking at his face, the taqwa on his face, the salah on his face. You remember Allah just by looking at certain people. This is aiming high. And there is a story that is the exact opposite of that. And it's one of the singers from the Arab lands, and he made tawbah and he stopped his singing and dancing. And they asked him why that happened. He said, I was at Hajj. I'm still a singer, and I'm at Hajj. He says, while we were in the Kaaba, suddenly in the crowd, I came face to face with a man who recognized me as the singer. So the man, without thinking, the first thing he said was, A'udhu Billah, and walked away. He said, it affected me so much that I remind people of evil, that when they're in a righteous place and in a righteous act of worship, and they saw my face, it reminded them of ma'asi and sins and disobedience. So he said, A'udhu Billah, just like I'm a shaitan or something. So it made him rethink his entire career. And when he came back from Hajj, he had made tawbah from singing and all the other stuff. Yani, we want to be with which category? Of the righteous believers? Or do you want to look like a rapper when you're walking down the street? Or like someone from a biker gang? Or a goth? Or a rocker? Or whatever categories of people are out there. So the first thing we said, consider if this thing is makruh or not. The second thing, consider whom it makes you look like and which category of people does it place you under. The third thing is something what the scholars call khawarim al-muru'a. So, and khawarim means something that takes away from something else. Al-muru'a is chivalry, but here we don't mean chivalry in the male sense. But as the scholars defined it, khawarim al-muru'a, they said, ijtinabu ma yakrahuhu Allah wal-muslimun min al-aqwali wal-a'mal. They said it's leaving off or avoiding what Allah and the believers hate or dislike. Notice what Allah and what the believers dislike of actions and sayings. Leave those kinds of things that are hated by Allah, hated by the righteous and the believers, of actions and sayings. And some said it's almost like how we say aib, something that's shameful, or la yaliq, that is inappropriate or not befitting or unbecoming. Some of them are agreed upon. And some change based on culture, place, and time. Agreed upon things are like an old man that's behaving like a child, يعني purposely. So that's not acceptable. It's from Khawarim al-Muru'a. Making fun of people, whether you're young or old, making fun of people is from Khawarim al-Muru'a. And some of them, their values, they change based on place, culture, and based on the person. Chewing gum is halal. But is it appropriate for the khatib to be loudly chewing and popping gum while he's giving the khutbah? It's not. So now that means the place changed it and made it inappropriate. Or wearing shorts to the knees is halal. But is it appropriate for a scholar in his 80s, a grand mufti, the mufti of the city, to be wearing sneakers and shorts and running around people? It's halal. We said this khutbah is not about anything haram. But is it appropriate for someone of that his stature and his age to be wearing something like that? So that's what we're trying to look at, examples of how it can change, inappropriate or not, can change based on the place, based on the person, and also based on culture. So there are some values, as you're reading some Islamic books, you might find some things mentioned and they're frowned upon, but they don't apply to our culture anymore. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were anyone of position in society, you never ever left the home with your head uncovered. So that was the culture then. But this value doesn't exist today. So it's okay to leave the home with your head uncovered. And that's what we do. Likewise, eating in public. You'll read in a lot of classical books, and they used to look down at someone who eats in public. And eating and chewing and in front of people, they used to see that as a very bad thing. Today, we don't see anything wrong with that. This value doesn't exist today. But a lot of times, young men especially will read this in a book, and you tell them, let's go to a restaurant, and they'll tell you, no, I don't eat in public. Type, this value doesn't exist, ya akhi. You eat in public, don't eat in public, it doesn't matter anymore. But remember, we're saying in this khutbah, we're not talking about anything that is haram, but what is not befitting or inappropriate. So the scholars made a list of examples. They said, for example, always coming to the salah in the last rak'ah. And someone never comes before that. Always in the last rak'ah he comes to salah. That's from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Always skipping tasbih after salah from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Always or taking advantage of the guest. Yani you invite a doctor over to your house. Tell him come over for dinner. And then while my wife gets the tea ready, one by one you bring the children for free checkups. That's taking advantage of your guest from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. The scholars mention things like burping out loud. You know, and in some cultures people don't suppress the burp at all. That's from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. It's not good, it's not appropriate. And other things, yani. The scholars mention abandoning witr. Someone who never ever gives any attention to witr prayer from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. They mention kissing the wife in front of people from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Always showing up uninvited. Someone just always at your front door, mashallah. Nobody invites him, he's just always inviting himself. Sitting on the roadsides, and the Prophet ﷺ explicitly said that do not sit on the roadsides and people's pathways except with its rights. And then he explains the rights of sitting on the road. You give salam to people, you lower the glance. But today this is a hobby. You ask people, what do you like to do? I like to people watch. You just sit and just look at people, staring them up and down. This is from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Profiting off your friends. Your friend is at the store. Or you're at the store, your friend tells you, if you're there, can you get me something? I'll pay you back when you come. You pay $5 for it, you come and tell him $7.50. You profit $2.50 off of him. Taib, that $2.50 is not haram money, but it's inappropriate for you to benefit and to profit off a good friend of yours. Talking indirectly about intimacy with the spouse. And you'll see people, sometimes, they're being indirect, but it's clear what they're talking about. But it's inappropriate, it's from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Asking too many questions. This is a problem Arabs have. They ask you too many private questions about your father and your mother and everybody. But then when they come and live here, they start to learn that that's not appropriate. So maybe that's a blessing. But it's not appropriate. A man came to Imam Malik and asked him, how old are you? Imam Malik was not happy with that question. Why are you asking me my age? It's none of your business. Another example, and an excellent example for the young people in the audience to pay attention to. They said, taking over a majlis, yani you're at a gathering, and you take it over, yani take over, you dominate the conversation, while you know there's someone more knowledgeable than you in the gathering. There's a doctor in the audience, and he's speaking and talking about his, and you, because you watched 2-minute videos on YouTube, you think you're an expert, and you take over and dominate the conversation. or there's a sheikh and a scholar, and people are wanted to listen to him, but some young guy wants to show that he knows some things also. He starts interrupting from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Mentioning inappropriate things over a meal. Some people, the minute the food comes, they start talking about bathroom experiences when the food is in front of people. Inappropriate, from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Talking to an older person with no regard for their age. Be careful, young people, because this happens a lot. So someone will speak to an adult or someone much older than them as if they're the same age, with no regard for their age whatsoever and for their wisdom. And the scholars also mention, for males especially, dancing. Now please don't ask me after the end of the khutbah about different kinds of dance, if they're appropriate or not. But generally we're speaking about someone shaking, a man shaking his hips and his shoulders and gyrating and twisting, from Khawarim al-Muru'ah. Want to mention another example, and it's something that has afflicted a lot of our youth: vaping. Now, we're making the example about things that are not haram. So someone vapes and he tells you there's no nicotine in it, and there's no this and no that, so he's removing all the haram elements. But what's in it? Flavor. Okay. So, and he tells you it's not haram. There's no nicotine, there's no tar, it's just the flavor and I'm just puffing it away. Tayyib, is that the only thing you take into consideration, whether it's haram or not? There are other things to consider. Why do you want to appear like that? Yeah, when someone stands in front of the masjid and he puffs on something and a plume of smoke shoots out around him, are you trying to resemble the righteous? Or do you just want to look like a smoker? Or you just want to look like someone who smokes and you don't really smoke? But why would you do that? Is that appropriate? It's from Khawarim al-Muru'ah for someone to stand and vape, even if it's halal. And they argue with you just using the word haram. We're arguing with them using inappropriate. And people doing it now in front of the masajid and doing it casually, don't do it, yakh. Don't do it at home. Don't do it publicly. So these are some other things to consider besides whether or not something is haram or not. And inshallah, make sure you share them with your family and teach them to your children. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذُّنُوبِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَيَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We said when making a decision, consider whether or not the thing you want to do is makruh or not. And consider the category of people that it places you with. Do you want to be identified with this category of people? And is it from khawarim al-muru'ah or not? Things that are shameful, inappropriate, unbecoming, unbefitting. And number four, consider, and this is especially for the young people, consider your parents' approval. Sometimes you want to do something that's completely halal, but your parents disapprove. In this case, don't do it. And this is part of al-birr. This is the part of obedience and righteousness to parents. It doesn't matter if it's halal, and it doesn't matter if it's not haram. If your parents don't want you to do it, then don't do it. And we've either heard of someone or in our lives experienced where we go on a journey or a trip or an event where your mother said, don't go. And you still go. It's nothing, it's not haram, so you go. And it ends up to be a complete and utter disaster, full of calamity after calamity, because the mother wasn't pleased. It doesn't have anything to do with if it's halal or haram. If your parents are not pleased with something, stay away from it. And al-birr, being obedient and righteous with your parents, that is what will bring you barakah and blessing in everything else you do in your life. Any endeavor you want to undertake, if your parents give you the green light, you'll have more blessing. And if it's something they adamantly told you not to do and you do it, even if it's halal, there will be no blessing in it. There is a true story of a man, and he was working, he was in a farm. And his father comes to him, the sun is hot, and this is during our times. So his father came to him and he said, let's go inside, it's really hot, the sun is hot, let's go. So the son insists, no, I want to continue working. And the father insisted, but the young man insisted to keep working. So then his father goes inside, And he brings out that man's young boy, his son, and he puts him out in the sun. So the boy's father says that he's a small child and the sun is very hot. So his grandfather, or meaning the man's father, tells him, if your heart is filled with your concern for your child, my heart is filled with concern for you. Yani he's telling him that the same concern you have for your child, you are still my child. I have the same concern for you. One of the beautiful things, brothers and sisters, is not to grow up in front of your parents. You are still their child. So don't be a grown-up in front of them. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And make yourself submissive gently to them with compassion. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. And say, my Lord, have mercy on them. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. As they had brought me up when I was little. So the scholar said, why mention that you were little? Yani, why mentioning being young here? And they said that to remember that once you remember that you're older, you ruin the equation. Because you're older, you're not in need of them. You're not in need of their direction. You're mature. You have your own children. But you recall, and to make it gentler and soften the heart, you recall the time when you were little, when you were in need of their mercy. And that's why the dua mentions when you were little, specifically, not when you're older. This is a true story. One of the multimillionaires in one of the Muslim lands, and he's in our times, he's extremely wealthy. So he gives his parents a stipend of 100,000 a month. Every month he gives his mother and father 100,000. And of their currency, but it's still a huge amount of money, like $30,000 or something. And he says every now and then, this multimillionaire, he says every now and then, I will purposely leave my wallet at home. And I'll come and I'll ask my father for some money. Or I'll take my mother out shopping and I'll purchase something, but I'll say, I don't have my wallet, and I'll ask her to pay for it. So when they asked him why, he said, حَتَّى أُشْعِرْهُمَا أَنِّي زِلْتُ بِحَاجَةٍ لَهُمَا. He said, just to make them feel that I am still in need of them. I'm still in need. I'm still little in your eyes. I'm giving you the money, but I'm asking you just to make you feel that you have the upper hand. I refer you to Sheikh Waleed Basuni's khutbah on parents. It's arguably the greatest khutbah ever given in this masjid, and it's available on our YouTube channel. So you may review it and keep it in the forefront of your mind, the high place that we should keep our parents. And when we realize their place, you understand why their approval is so important. Even if it's halal, even if it's not haram, your parents don't want you to do it, leave it. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزُغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. اللهم اجعلنا من أغنى خلقك بك ومن أفقر عبادك إليك. اللهم املأ قلوبنا حبا لك وخوفا منك ورجاء فيك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا إلى أحد من خلقك. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين. فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك، ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك، ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف، وينهى فيه عن المنكر، يا سميع الدعاء. وصل اللهم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.